Good morning, everybody. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for having me here. It's truly an honor for me, and I consider like everything that we do at Hope Blooms to be sacred, so to be in a room where everyone here is a really sacred experience for me, so I thank you for having me here today. So I was here 2 years ago, and it was so wonderful, and I always feel such a privilege because I'm from Cape Breton, so I'm from Mara, rural Cape Breton. I don't know if anybody's been there or from Cape Breton, but my grandmother went to church 7 days a week, and my grandmother did the rosary twice a day, every morning and every night. And she was the one everybody called when they needed a prayer. So it took her 2 hours in the morning to do her rosary. And so I feel like I'm honoring her in a way to be speaking here today. So about Hope Blooms. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I usually speak actually really loud because I come from a big family. And down home you have to speak loud to get your dinner first.
That's good.
That's good. Okay. So with Hope Blooms, I actually started, I was a dietitian. I still am a dietitian for many years. And I worked at the North End Community Health Center as a dietitian. And before that, I was at the QE2 for many, many years as a diabetes educator. So I come from a long, long career working with health. And at the North End Community Health Center, I used to take the children on food tours because I just thought it would every child, you know, should know about food and where it comes from and that. And the reason I started Hope Blooms is I couldn't believe when we went outside the community is how nervous they were. And when we go in places for food tours and some grocery stores that we're being followed around the store. And they were only 7 and 8 years old. And when I inquired about it, the kids were like, don't make a fuss, we're used to this. We, you know, get followed around stores all the time. And it just really broke my heart that they felt that, you know, they didn't want any attention drawn to it. And so I told them, I said, one day, people are going to ask for your autograph. I'm just going to think of some big thought, and it'll be different. And so it kind of stuck in my mind. And I was walking by a garden. Well, it used to be a garden in 1998, and then it didn't work out, and so it was shut down, and it kind of started kind of imploding in on itself, you know, caving in and that. And so in 2007, I walked by this piece of land, and you know how you just hear something, you don't know where it comes from, but something just said in me, like, it's time for things to flourish right here, so with kids growing food. And I did not know how to grow food, but it just was something I felt that I had to make a commitment to. And so I remember my mom was a school teacher, and so I grew up reading books all the time. And one of my favorite quotes was, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And so I thought, oh, what if we could do that right here with this little piece of land with some children, changing the way they feel about themselves and changing the way they feel about their community, but also having people change the way that they look at the inner city of Halifax and children. So I kind of put that out there, and we started growing food. And I went around the local schools, and I started with 7 children. 4 of them were from the same family, and just all different ages, and none of us knew what we were doing. And I still remember because Jack, who lived on the Engineer Square, had a radio, you know, those red radio flyer wagons, and he used to fill it up, buckets up, and bring them over and water our garden. And we got a donation of about 50 tomato plants, and so most of what we grew the first year were tomatoes. And so on the other hand, I thought, well, you could grow food, but wouldn't it be something to kind of do something with that food and then use the money and give it back to the community? And so I thought, oh, let's make some salsa. Has anybody ever made salsa before? I'll never do it again. I can't even buy a jar of salsa in the grocery store. It was so hard. And we have seven kids with you. It was so hard. But we sold 150 bottles of salsa in one day, all of our salsa. And I said to the kids, well, what do you think we give some of the money to somebody in the community, a place in the community? So we walked around, and they said, well, we'd like to give it to Addison Post, because they were just down the street from us, from the garden. I said, oh, this is wonderful. So I said, how much money should we give? And one of the little kids, I still remember Tiffany, she said, can we give it all away? And so we gave it all away. It was almost $500 that we made. And we gave the check to Addison Post. And that's when I knew that, like, I was in it. I just thought, these children don't have anything themselves, and they want to give it all away. And so it just really taught me a lesson about generosity. You know, and how important it is for everybody to feel that they can give something. And sometimes when you're in an inner city community and you're on, you know, the receiving end, you don't know what it's like to give. You know, you don't feel that you have anything to give. And the children taught me that it's really important to have something to give. And one of the most important things is your time. So, and so we started from there. And then my daughter's a chef, and she said, why don't you make dressings? Grow herbs and make dressings. And that's where our salad dressing, I don't know if anybody's ever tasted them, but that's where that was born. And so those kids that started with me, do you know what? It's almost 10 years to the day that we started Hope Blooms. So it's 10 years ago.
So good.
And it's still going strong. So what happened is they had so much fun giving that money away. And so we started, next year we grew, we dug everything. If you go by our gardens, we have 75 now. And we dug every one of them with a shovel ourselves. And now we grow over, we broke our record this past year. We grew over 4,000 pounds of organic fruits and vegetables.
Wow.
And those kids, thank you. And the children bring it all home to their family. And so we grow a lot of things that some people hadn't eaten before. So kale and Swiss chard. You know, we grow a lot of garlic and peppers, and we still grow tomatoes. We even grew some watermelons, pumpkins. Now we grow a lot of berries, and we did some that we didn't ask permission for. We put a little orchard in around the field, and we didn't ask the city for permission. So with that, it's our fourth year with them now, so they're getting blossoms and that. So we have some palm trees and two cherry trees and two apple trees growing secretly around the outside of the field. So they're pretty excited about that. And then we cook twice a week all year round. So we have we call it culinary arts instead of like a community kitchen. So that you know, when they come in, we have the children learn a lot about cooking with everything that we're growing, from like kale meatloaf to, you know, whatever, so many things you can do with an egg and vegetables. So we cook in our food space through the colder months, and then we cook right at the garden with those induction burners that you can get. The city put in two electrical outlets in those light bowls, and we just plug into there and we cook away stir fries every night in the garden. Mm-hmm. And then the community comes out and eat. Everything's free. And so we're all about connecting and building community through food. The thing is that the children are the leaders. And so when I started with those children 10 years ago, and so one of them is in his third year of university now. And so the thing about Hope Blooms is that the children start when they're 5 and 6 years old, and they graduate when they're 18. And so yeah, they say a lot can happen in between those years. And so it's the big thing with us is that if you asked any one of the children, if you can describe Hope Blooms in one word, what would it be? Can anybody guess?
Home.
Yeah. And they all say family. Yeah, so they feel that it's their space. They feel that they belong. They feel that their voices are heard. They feel that what they do matters. And they feel that they are all contributing to making their community a better place to be in. And so they all feel like a family. Now, the thing is that we've grown to 63. So it's a big family. And then the past year and a half, we had 15 Syrian families moving across the street from the garden, and they all know how to grow food. And so they grow tomatoes a lot better than we grow tomatoes. And the community gave their plots up. So we started putting in plots for community members, and they gave their plots up to the Syrian families the first year. And so last year this year, 20 more plots. And guess what? 17 more families moved into UNIAC Square. So we have over 135 Syrian refugees with us now, plus the 63 who. So put in 3 kind of mini little farms in our garden. So now our gardens are over 5,000 square feet. So we're growing so much and growing a lot of food. And then we have our greenhouse, you know, from the kids going on Dragon's Den. So Buildright Nova Scotia came to us and said, oh, we saw the kids on Dragon's Den and I just want a greenhouse, so we want to help build it. But they didn't realize that the kids are used to using their imaginations and dreaming big, but also having a huge love for our earth. So from day one, we've been organic. And so I said, well, you know, there's a few of the youth that love architecture. Would you mind mentoring them? And so they said, oh, yes, we'll call Fowler, Bald, and Mitchell Architects, and the kids can work with them and help design. And so they didn't realize we wanted an off-the-grid greenhouse. We didn't want to have any carbon footprint. So that's solar-powered. And so the Buildright Nova Scotia got all the trades together, and they said, Jesse, please don't call us for anything else. They're laughing, but it costs them a lot more than the $10,000 that we asked for on Dragon's Den. Because the kids are like, oh, we want a rainwater catching system. And, you know, we want to make sure we have no way to heat it because we don't have any money. So when you build it, could you have it so that we don't need heat? So it's, you know, every brick is like, have you ever heard of the straw bale houses? Every brick is a straw bale. So it's all the cement is mixed in with wood chips. And so the whole greenhouse inside, I'd love for you to come down, is like inside like a straw bale greenhouse. And then this past year, you know what we did? We put in trout. So we have fish. So we talked to this guy and I said, you know, it's really important to have, we want our greenhouse to be like a science, like exploration center, so that the kids can learn. And so what happens is this guy built us a big tub with windows in it, and last year we put in striped bass, and we raised them from little tadpoles, and then we had a big fish fry at Christmas time. I told the kids they can't name the fish because you're going to eat them later, so it's another bit of food security. And so then the fish waste feeds the vegetables that grow on top of the tank. So we grew almost 500 pounds of vegetables in the pasture on that tank on top of it. And it's all like hydroponic. You don't have to feed it because all the fish waste is full of nutrition. And so this summer now we're growing the rainbow trout. We have 16 of them. And so I'll invite you all to come around Christmas time. They're only this big now. You can have a fish fry with us. But it's just teaching the kids around the nitrogen cycle and about, you know, how we can do, and it's all solar powered. The whole thing is solar powered. So we're not taking up any, you know, electricity with, like, on the grid. And none of it costs any money. So it's like trying to use our imaginations and work really, really hard to make a difference. And try and convince other people that it's worthwhile making a difference with us. And so in the past year, the community has grown. It's even more diverse than it ever was before. But there's a lot of challenges that come with that. Because, you know, even the Syrian families come from such a trauma, and they're in now with a community where there's, you know, a lot that's going on as well. The kids, as they were growing, see, I grew with the kids. So, you know, they're so little when they start, and then they, you know, were teenagers, and I find mentors for them to make sure they stay interested in school and keep dreaming big enough. But, you know, at teenagers, it's not easy. I'm sure everybody can agree with me. It's not easy. So all of a sudden, I found myself with like 40 teenagers. And I realized that there's some mental health support that's needed. And, you know, Karen and I spoke, were, you know, so helpful with that. And we reached out and we have Robert Wright with us. I don't know if anybody's heard of Robert Wright. He's African Nova Scotian, and he's just been so amazing. He understands trauma like nobody I've ever witnessed, and he's been with us now since the fall, and the youth can see themselves in him, and he's able to bring everybody together, and it's making such a huge difference. As they grow, I grow. And I've learned that it's kind of never too late to have a happy childhood. I'm going to be 60 this year, growing up in Cape Breton, you had to work very hard. There wasn't a lot of time to have a childhood because there's a farm, and there was like, it's just about working hard, and then you have to go off, you know, when you're finished school. And so the children taught me that. You know, it's okay to make mistakes. There's nobody that's coming up behind you to, you know, wrap your knuckles. Or when I was in school, we got the strap. But it's okay to make mistakes and to give yourself a break about that. They taught me that. They teach me that every day. And another thing that they taught me is that it's really important for every single one of us to know that we belong. And like 3 weeks ago, so we've been working with the Syrian families, and I just thought, you know, it's all about them fitting into our culture, even with our gardens. And so I reached out and I got two volunteers. And one of the youth, actually, that is with us from Egypt, he's fluent in Arabic. And we started a Syrian family program that's just for the women. And we meet every Wednesday afternoon. And all we do is share stories around culture. So I'm learning so much from them. I even know a few words now. And this week, actually, three of them, they're amazing cooks, too. So I found out somebody needed a catering job, and three of them love cooking. So they're cooking for 100 people this Thursday. They got a job. So there's so many ways to build community, and it's really important for every single person to know that they belong somewhere. It's so important. And then another thing that they taught me is that it's okay to be vulnerable. And so sometimes it's really hard. And I work 7 days a week, and I left my profession. that, you know, if you're working, it was kind of a cushy profession. Dietitians, we just work 9 to 5 in a hospital. I loved it. And I got totally, I fell in love. You know, I fell in love with the children. And that's all I see when I look at them. And they taught me that, and it's so hard because just trying to cry out, but that it's okay to be vulnerable. And it's okay not to have all the answers. And that, and there's one saying that I just try and think of all the time, and that is that you, more than any other person in this universe, deserve your own love and affection. And that's what they teach me. You know, sometimes, you know, when I'm having a hard time or whatever, you know, it's always remembering to be kind to yourself. And so as, you know, we continue to grow Hope Blooms, we're rooted, you know, we're rooted in sacredness. And so I do that in honor of, you know, everybody that's come before me. I do it in honor of children, but I the message that I wanted to leave you here with today is that we're not separate from making a difference. Sometimes people look at me and think, oh, Jesse, you know, you're doing such good stuff. And I'm like, oh, no. We're all doing good stuff because, first of all, I can't do this without the support of so many people. And that we're all connected. And I know that's like a cliche, but this thing that I say is a tree has many branches. And each leaf can blow differently in the wind, but that tree always remembers that it's connected at the roots. And so we're all very different, but we're all connected at the roots. And so our success is your success, and your success is our success. So that we are all playing a part in this. And I want you to know that one of the biggest things that the children... Has anybody ever met any of the youth at the farmer's market? The C4 farmer's market? Okay. You know what? We keep going back. We'll be back again in August. And you know why we keep going back? Because the kids, out of all the things that we've done, said they can never get over how nice people are to them. That's why they love going back. That does more than anything I can do. They're like, oh my God, did you see that person just smiled at me and asked me about Hope Blooms and said they were really proud of me? And like, and that's all they talk about on the way back home, is how nice people were to them. And so so that's much more than I can do. I'm only one person. So it's each of you. And that's why I say that we're all in this together. And never forget that just a kind word or a smile, what that can mean to another person, to each one of us. And so in going forward now with us, the children that started with me are in, one's at Dalhousie. She just finished her first year. And one is he's in his third year at University of Toronto, of course, studying business. One is at Stanford University in California. And you want to know something about, you talk about sacredness, you know, and you know that there's many, you know, what there's many names for God, you know, but he was trying so hard, and he worked so hard, and when he had the Skype interview for Stanford, guess what? One of the judges was from PEI, knew all about Hope Blooms, tried the dressing, knew, I'm like, what are the odds of that? I couldn't believe it. And so they said, like, at Stanford, they don't look at where you are, they look at where you're going to be, your potential. And so, Craig is with me from day one. He has cerebral palsy. He has taught harder than anybody that I know. And his dream is to be a chef, and he's at culinary at NSCC. And then Kaladi just finished grade 12, and he's going to St. Evex in September. But just to let you know that these are the first, nobody in any of their family history has ever gone to post-secondary. And so, you know, people, say that, have a little program or do something. It's not like that. You have to start when they're young and show them that they, you know, that you're with them, that you're with them. Every one of those youth were at the market with me every year. Like, that they know that people are wanting them to succeed and that there's more good in the world than bad. And when they, you know, when they have a bigger vision, their world gets bigger, too. And so I want to thank you. And just having me here today, you are part of our story, too, just like we're part of your story. So I want to thank you, and I want to send you all the love from us at Hope Blooms.